This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I don't think we should be bombing churches. Apparently we are. Going to talk about that here in a while. We're going to talk about stunning job losses and some economic news that is not good. I think some people should be put on trial in this country for high treason. I'm going to go into that in just a little bit. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. And allow me to issue a stern warning at the opening of this show. No, the story's not super dark today. You know, I warn you about that ahead of time. However, there's a lot to the story today, and I ain't going to wrap up the history segment in 20 minutes today. Yes, I'm going to talk about the DHS deputy head. I'm going to talk about Josh Hawley investigating Democrats. I'm going to talk about transgenders in the military in a way that is 100% going to offend you and probably everyone you know. I'm getting to all that, but this story today is critically important in my mind for everybody to hear. You see, let's go back to Rome. We've gone into this basic period before without having talked about this particular event, but we're in the period of time where there was a populism movement rising in Rome. And they were called the populares, and they were going against, we're going to call it the Optimates or Optimates, depending on how uneducated you are, because I sound stupid trying to sound smart. I'm just going to call them the Optimates. Basically, it's the populace versus the elites, and that really is the way you want to think about this. The Optimates are the senators, the extremely wealthy people, the equestrians, which you would need to know. In Rome, underneath the senatorial class, there was the equestrian class. They were the knights. They were very, very, very wealthy, high-end people, but not the top level, not the top tier. But the Optimates was basically made up of that. And yes, I'm going to draw a ham-fisted conclusion from this right off the bat for you here. You need to think of the Optimates as the guys who run big tech, the Wall Street executives, the United States senators, especially the Democrat ones, the professors at elite universities. Those are the Optimates as far as the time we're in. And then you had populares, and they were more the new thing. But what had been happening, and I'm going to say this about 10,000 times today, tell me if this sounds familiar. The Optimates were, in the interest of enriching and empowering themselves more and more, stomping on the people more and more. One set of rules for the wealthy, another set of rules for the people. What do I mean by stomping for it? Well, or by stomping on it? Well, veterans. It was a hard, hard life to serve in the Roman Legion. The training was so strict. That's why the legions were so awesome for so long. Their discipline was outstanding. How do you get to be a disciplined, cohesive military unit? Training. Time. That's what it takes. It takes hours and days and months of training. And the discipline in a Roman unit. You've heard of decimation? We'll talk about it today. That football team decimated the other team. Do you know where that term decimation came from? It's a Latin derivative, comes from the word ten. You see, if your unit, Rome was divided up into smaller units, if your particular unit retreated when they weren't supposed to, stepped out of line in some way, they would call it cast lots. They would draw straws, for lack of a better way to put it. And whichever one of the 10 men got the short straw would then be beaten to death by his comrades in his unit. They would go down the line, you, beaten to death by his best friends. That is Roman discipline. Routinely flogged to death. You'd be crucified. That's part of what the discipline, that's part of what gave them that kind of discipline too. You don't have a moment in the Roman Legion where you just, I feel like, I'm going to sleep in. No. No, you're up. You're out. So the Roman legions, constantly at war, a hard life, were always, I've almost always promised lands when their time in the legion were done. Remember, land was wealth, agriculture, little house, cute little wife, raise some cubs. You know what I mean? The good life. They were no different than you. They were not getting their land. Not only were they not getting their lands, the Optimates, the elites, tell me if this sounds familiar, pouring slaves into the country from all the conquests that the veterans were earning. Veterans out there fighting a foreign war, dying, bleeding, coming back, maimed for life if you came back at all. And, the spoils of that, your efforts, if you're a veteran, was slaves. Slavery was, remember, the history of the world. That's just the history of the world. The slaves all came back. They were all bought up by the Optimates, who then took that slave and put that slave in a job that was supposed to be for the veteran. You picking up on any anger, any resentment here? You still wondering why we have 20 million illegal immigrants in this country? It's not an accident, and it ain't only Democrats. Anyway, moving on. Lastly, there was something. Now, this will be harder for us to understand because there's really no relation to this now. Citizenship. You think of Rome as either all of Italy or, you know, the entire Mediterranean area they eventually conquered. Rome really was. Remember, citizenship, it essentially means member of a city, someone who resides in a city. Roman citizenship was really reserved for people in actual Rome itself, the city, not the empire. They had all these Italians, they were known as Italians, in the countryside, the rural people. Well, maybe this is applicable to today. You see, the Roman people in Rome, the city itself, they considered themselves to be citizens and more elite than the people in the rural countryside. The people in the countryside, well, I mean, they're not Roman. They were part of the Roman Empire, but they weren't Roman citizens. And keep in mind, as we talked about before, as hopefully you've read in your Bible before, I know Chris hasn't because it's in the New Testament. Remember that story about Paul, Apostle Paul, when he's about to be flogged? And he says, are you going to do this to a Roman citizen? And the guy essentially poops his pants and says, no, I'm not. I'm sorry. You can go. Roman citizenship meant a lot. It was the ultimate, you better treat me with respect card. Because if you didn't, Rome would send an entire legion and raise your city to the ground if you mistreated one of their citizens. Not because they actually cared about that citizen that much, but because they wanted to make sure the next citizen and the next citizen is treated really well. You're going to get a little lesson in Roman arrogance today. It actually cost them, or almost cost them, very dearly. Yeah, I'm just getting rolling. You're just going to have to buckle up. We're going to talk about a great story today. And transgenders in the military. Yeah, I have offensive thoughts.
Truth, attitude, Jesse Kelly.
I ask very little of my friends and family. I try to be that way. But I want you to understand something. When I talk about Super Beats with you, I don't just talk to you about it. I've asked my friends, family, to start taking Super Beats. The truth is high blood pressure, some problems with the heart. These things, they run in my family. So why wouldn't you take such a simple, affordable, easy step like eating two Super Beats heart chews every single day? I do. I eat two a day at dinner time. And it's not like it's some burden. It's like I get to eat two fruit snacks every single day. They're outstanding. And they have an awesome, awesome special for you right now. If you go to getsuperbeats.com/Jesse, that's getsuperbeats.com/Jesse. You get two free 30-day supplies.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
Nearly 20% of renters in America are behind on their payments. Oh boy, I'm going to tell you where that's going a little later on. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter at JesseKellyDC. I'm also on Instagram, on Facebook, and other things too. 877-377-4373, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Back to Rome. Too many slaves, no citizenship for the Italians in the rural areas, no land for veterans. And here's the thing about the citizenship question for our story. A lot of people wanted to grant these Italians citizenship. There were a ton of them, right? There's a ton of them out there. But nobody wanted, because of their divided two-party system, hint, hint, wink, wink, nobody wanted the other guy to get credit for having given them citizenship, because then he was going to use it for more political power. You know, if you're the populares, I think they should be citizens, and then you make them citizens, and wow, now there's a lot more of you than there are of the other guy. If you're the optimates, same thing. Why don't we give them citizenship? A man comes along by the name of Drusus. I'm not going to go into the rest of all these Roman names. His name's Drusus. And he tries to give them citizenship. And not only does he try to give them citizenship, Drusus is not smart enough to hide his intentions from the rest of the Romans. He not only tries to give them citizenship, he pens a letter to them telling them, not only am I trying to give you citizenship, if you get it, you will owe all of your allegiance to me. Well, Drusus got himself killed. This is ancient Rome. Assassination was the name of the game in the ancient world. Drusus gets assassinated for it. And remember, these Italians who'd been begging for citizenship, Drusus presenting them with a document saying, I'm going to try to give it to you, was as close as they'd ever come to getting it. They could taste it. And what was the result? The result was you killed the guy they thought was coming to save them. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Any of this sounding familiar yet? Well, now they freak out. And the result of this is something called the social war. Yeah, it's another social, don't think of it in that way. It's another Latin thing I'm not going to go into today. It doesn't matter. It's all boring anyway. Who cares about Latin? Anyway, this starts the social war. What is the social war? The Italians, all those rural Italians. And remember, there's a ton of them, a sea of them. And they've been operating as Roman citizens, serving in the legions. Yeah, they're very much part of the society. Thought less of by the elites, but very much part of the society. They revolt and rebel. Not all of them, but tons of them do. And when I say rebel, I don't mean a tiny town steps up and says, I don't want to be part of Rome anymore. I mean vast parts of the countryside stand up and say, we are out. Goodbye, Rome. Peace. They are so out, they start their own government and print their own money. And on their coinage, we still have the coins today. Not only do they print their money, they choose to raise the ultimate middle finger to Rome when they do it. You see, the Roman symbol was really a wolf. They loved wolves. They were big on that. The Italian coinage they printed had a bull, that's what the Italian really symbol was, had a bull goring a wolf to death on it. I'm not making that up. It's awesome. And these people are advanced enough to start their own government, print their own coins, field their own legions. Remember, these are experienced Romans too. The social war sounds a lot nicer than it was. This was very much a let's go toe-to-toe thing. These Italians were no joke at all. And they went at it. And I'm not going to go into all the details of the social war just because there's so much to cover, but it was an ugly affair. I will tell you this. People talk a lot today, especially people on the right. You and I, there's a lot of talk about civil war. You know, you really see this on social media. Somebody, I'm ready for a civil war. Let's have a civil war. Let's just have a civil war and get it over with. Man, do you not want that? the ugliness of war, period, is just, it's unbelievable. But civil wars, I mean, not just the social war, all of them are so horrible. And they're it's the women and children, too, that really gets to me. You're not on some foreign battlefield where he's mobilized his army here and you've mobilized your army there. In a civil war, man, it's fought in people's homes, in people's towns, by people who speak the same language. They went to the same school. Oh, hey, you know Bob? I know Bob. Let me try to murder you now. It's more personal. It's more terrible than you can imagine. And the social war was a horrible, horrible bit of business. And Rome itself eventually begins to gain the upper hand. Why do they begin to gain the upper hand? One, they had a lot more money. They had more resources than the rural countryside. Therefore, when their legions are breaking spears and shields and swords, they can replenish it. Remember, economies run militaries. Rome has better economy. Rome has a better military. Also, Rome just had better leaders. They had people like Lucius Cornelius Sulla coming up through the ranks who were just very, very, very good. Now, Rome eventually wins, but they did not curb stomp the Italians. In fact, by the end of the social war, Rome gives the citizenship to the Italians. And it was so close, like throughout the war, it was so close. Rome was offering anybody who doesn't join the Italians can actually be a citizen. And anyone who's revolting now, if you stop now, you can be a citizen. This was a serious, serious civil war. Right? It really could have gone the other way. Battle here, battle there. It could have gone the other way. And now you get what you wanted. If you're an Italian citizen, you're a Roman citizen. All of Italy is Roman now. And for a lot of people in society at that time, especially the new citizens, they thought, well, it's about freaking time. We've been putting in the work, paying the taxes, paying our dues. We should have been citizens a long time ago. It's about time. But for people like Lucius Cornelius Sulla, who was not only a talented military commander, he was the ultimate optimate. He was the ultimate Rome should be what it was, what it's always been guy. He looks around and now he sees a country that is severely, severely watered down and losing its direction. Lucius Cornelius Sulla is always painted as the bad guy in this story, and there's no question he's a bad guy. But does he have a point? Talk about that in a second. And job losses worse than 09. Ouch.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
A man stole a tow truck And I respect him for it. What? Chris? We'll get to that in a little bit. I'm into my history stuff today. I'm into it big time. What happened was, see, I have this bad personality. You know, I'm just such a bad person. And I have things where if I get into something, I go all in with it, and I will ignore even basic responsibilities in my life. Last night, I'm totally into the Sala versus Marius Populares social war stuff, and I start browsing through documentaries, and I start reading everything I can get on it, and I'm browsing through all this stuff. And before I know it, I look up, and I had to, because the wife was busy, I had to get the kids dinner last night. Before I know it, I look up. It's like an hour and a half past the time the kids eat dinner. And I'm like, boys! And I, of course, turn it back on them, only that doesn't work as well anymore because they've lived with me as such a terrible father for so long. I'm like, boys, have you eaten dinner? And they're all, no, mom said you were getting it tonight. I said, well, I don't know why you didn't eat on your own. That's irresponsible. And you could tell on their look on their faces. They're like, you forgot, didn't you? You forgot. I'm like, I'll get you something now anyway, because I'm such a good guy. But that's what happened last night. I started digging and I just dove headlong into it. All right, back to where we are. Sala considers, with all these now former Italians, now they're Roman citizens, he thinks Rome was already getting watered down with these populares trying to give the people some power. Now we have even more Roman citizens. He thinks what Rome has now lost is any sense of what Rome was, what Rome has always been, what Rome's supposed to be. You know, this virtuous republic, ambition, success, get out there and work hard and be a good person and things like that. You know, so how they saw themselves, whether or not they were that or not, that's up for debate, but that's how they saw themselves. They would study philosophy about virtue, bravery, hard work. That's how they saw themselves. Which brings us to a part where we have to take a little sidestep here. Gaius Marius. I talked about him before a long time ago. I will talk about him again in the future. And he's part of our story today, but you need to know this. And this is, it's so terrible the way people do history. Look, I'm not judging anybody, but if you go look at do a podcast search or whatever your podcast thing is, whether it's iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. You can find the Jesse Kelly Show on all those too, by the way. Go do a podcast search for Julius Caesar and just start scrolling. You'll be done scrolling by next Wednesday, maybe. And look, you know I'm the Caesar freak. I love Caesar, but there are endless ones. Now, go do a podcast search for Gaius Marius. If you find two, you're probably doing okay. Probably one. This dude was a consul of Rome. Consul, that was their, you know, president before they moved on to dictators. Consul of Rome 7 times. Absurdly cool story, not a rags to riches story, but didn't come up as one of the elites in society, but made his way up through the military as one of these, you know, working man generals, saved Rome from a gigantic German invasion. The dude was a legend. Most people don't even know the name Gaius Marius, an absolute legend. And as he's coming up, Sulla is coming up underneath him. And this, remember, this is a side part of our story. We've stepped away here for a moment. Forgive me, I get distracted. Sulla is coming up underneath him. Eventually, they are sent, Marius, and he brings his underling, Sulla, down to deal with a man named Jugurtha. And I'll tell the story another day, but just know Jugurtha was a king in charge of some people, and Rome couldn't get their handle on him. Every time they tried to fight him, he'd retreat into the mountains. He was just very squirrely. They couldn't get the guy. Marius either sends Sulla or Sulla volunteers. It's hard to know what's real because of how the story ended. Sulla basically goes undercover to meet Jugurtha, where he springs on him, arrests him, and brings him back. Well, here's the thing. And you probably have run into this in your life somewhere. In the military, in whatever company you work for. At some point, you have run into this. The guy on top always gets the credit. And the guy on top oftentimes doesn't share the credit. It really was Sulla, under Gaius Marius' command, but it really was Sulla who brought in Jugurtha. But Sulla was not the commander of the troops. Gaius Marius was. Who do you think took all the credit? Gaius Marius did. And from that point forward, maybe before then too, but from that point forward, we know Lucius Cornelius Sulla and Gaius Marius hated each other. Absolutely hated each other. Sulla thought Marius took his glory, and for Romans, glory was everything. Absolutely everything. All right, that's it for our side story. Back to where we were. Remember, end of the social war, so on and so forth. Two things happen at this point in time. One, Sulla gets elected as consul. Sulla is now president, right? Now that's what he is. He's president of Rome. Post-social war, all these new citizens, Sulla's president of Rome. Marius is old by now. I think he was in his 70s at this time, but still very much around and the legend, the super celebrity of Rome, period. Something else happens. Remember I said two things? Sulla gets elected consul. There's an area to the east, south of the Black Sea. So we're talking east of Greece. There's a kingdom called Pontus. This kingdom was led by a man named Mithridates II. Mithridates II looks around at his kingdom and says, well, Rome barely controls their own country. My kingdom's really big. My kingdom's really wealthy. I, Mithridates II, am a very powerful, very capable man, and he very much was. Well, tell me why I shouldn't spread my wings and fly a little bit, because he had some Roman-controlled territories beside him. Mithridates says, I'm going to do it. What's Rome going to do about it? He does. Mithridates storms into some of these territories beside him and takes over. Well, that really would have been okay. We're still okay by this point in time. Rome isn't freaking out yet. Rome sends some ambassadors to go talk to Mithridates. In Rome, it's kind of awesome, but Rome has a history of their ambassadors being a little bit forceful, if you will. Let's just put it this way. Roman ambassadors don't come in like you would normally picture an ambassador. You know, all fake smiles. And Bob, how you been, Bob? Let's go out. Can I buy you a steak tonight? Roman ambassadors, famously, to kings, they would come in and give orders. They would come in and really push their weight around. They were Roman, after all, right? And boy, did they blow this entire thing up. I'll tell you how in just a second.
Talk Radio Revolution. Jesse Kelly.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate.
I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I don't buy for one second that the vitality of American manufacturing is a thing of the past. American manufacturing was the arsenal of democracy in World War II, and it must be part of the engine of American prosperity now. That means we're going to use taxpayers' money to rebuild America. We'll buy American products and support American jobs.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, about American manufacturing, and it's not a thing of the past. You say things like that, but then you also say things like this. This is Chuck Schumer.
Give me your legislative priorities in your own words.
Climate.
I mean, everyone realizes those are two different agendas, right? You can have a robust manufacturing center. Factories, the works. That's, of course, my point of view. I want people to have jobs. I think it's awesome. Or you can choose to attack the mythological beast of man-made climate change. What you cannot do is both at the same time. Because factories, manufacturing, they require machinery. Machinery puts out carbon. If you believe carbon dioxide is killing the planet, you cannot possibly be pro-manufacturing. It's not possible. All right, I'm not going to get sidetracked. I'll get back to that in a little bit. Sorry, I just saw it. I had to say something. Mithridates, Pontus, invades a couple Roman territories, protectorates, whatever you want to call them. Rome sends an ambassador over. Rome's ambassador tells Mithridates, hey, get back in your own borders. What are you doing? Get back in your own borders. Mithridates, not all about open warfare with Rome yet, actually complies. But remember when I said Roman ambassadors are not exactly shrinking violets? Roman ambassadors then promptly go to the territories Mithridates had just invaded and tells them, you believe what he just did? We've got your back. You should invade him. They tell the territories to invade Mithridates, who turn around and do it. Well, the Romans, they don't have any legions over there. They have merchants over there. They have tax collectors over there. They don't have any legions. Mithridates looks at these little podunk territories invading him and says, no. He promptly sends his army out, stomps these territories into the ground, finds the main guy who led the invasion, and melts down gold and pours it down his throat. Then he kills some Romans, Roman merchants, Roman tax collectors. And then he doesn't stop there. Mithridates heads over to essentially Greece with a gigantic army. Now Rome has a big problem. Remember, they just got done really with the social war, but they have to act now. You have Roman citizens being killed. You have somebody just basically peeing all over your borders. You have to do so. You're being openly challenged now. Rome would never take that. Well, this means there's going to be a gigantic military campaign against a powerful but wealthy nation. It's not like America today where all these senators and politicians order American troops off to war and then don't go. Back then, their society, their culture, it was the greatest honor in the world to lead a Roman army in a military campaign. They all wanted it. Everybody wanted it. And Sulla, who'd just been made consul, definitely wanted it. And Gaius Marius, who was very much alive, wanted it too. Well, Sulla is the consul, so they give command to Sulla. Sulla, here, take your Roman army, go kill Mithridates. Marius promptly gets involved politically. They figure out a way to backstab Sulla, and they change command from Sulla to Marius. Sulla gets word of this, loses his mind, and the first guy to do it, it wasn't Julius Caesar, Sulla promptly raises his troops and marches on Rome. He's so upset about this whole thing. He wins. He kicks out Marius, who didn't have many troops or much at all, takes over Rome and says, okay, I hope you all learned your lesson now. Don't forget who's in charge. Then grabs his army and heads east, goes over to take on Mithridates. Marius moves right back in. Marius takes control of Rome while Sulla is gone and starts pushing the populare rules. Of course, then once he takes over, he promptly dies, but Sulla is in the east fighting Mithridates and finds out the people he's been fighting against have taken over Rome again. He has to make a treaty with Mithridates. You know, Mithridates didn't go over there and get stomped. He makes a treaty with him. Mithridates says, we good? We good? Yeah, Sulla says, yeah, we're good. And Sulla turns around and heads back west towards Rome. And we are going to wrap up our story here in just a minute. And then we have to talk about transgenders in the military. Hang on.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say one in three adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's seven members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the one in three could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Sulla cuts a deal, heads back to Rome. Sulla marches into Rome. Now, Marius's son, you know, he raised an army, tried to take on Sulla, but Marius's son is not in the same league as far as military commanders go. He loses, he kills himself. Sulla walks back into Rome and takes over. And keep in mind, he'd previously been knifed in the back. He was the consul, should have been in charge. They took it from him. He'd been knifed in the back by these populares. And these populares were people he had hated forever. Rome was watered down and filthy and wrong now. Sulla was a very committed man to making it the way he wanted it. And he's about to. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
President Biden, now President Biden, condemned protests and violence on the far left and the far right before he was president. Why haven't we heard anything directly from him about the riots in Portland and the Pacific Northwest since he was inaugurated?
Well, he's taking questions later this afternoon, so perhaps you will. I will say from here that President...
Getting a little spicy out there. I dig on that. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Remember, you can email me, whatever. They all go right to Jewish producer Chris. He prints them. I read them all. I'm not going to respond. I get way too many of them. You can email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in early if you'd like. Put yourself in line a little earlier than everybody else. Remember, those are for Friday, but I'm going to start sprinkling in one or two throughout the week. I just enjoy that. So, Sulla, as we wrap up our story here. Sulla comes back, ends the war with Mithridates, signs a treaty, comes back into Rome. Takes over again. Has himself appointed dictator. Only Sulla is a man who wants to use power. There are people out there who want it just to have it. And then there are people out there who want it to use it. And I guess the question is how you use it, what you use it for. You see, Sulla didn't want to be dictator just so he could get the special dictator parking spot out in front of the Colosseum. Sulla wanted to be dictator because he wanted to right what he viewed as the wrongs of Rome. Sulla becomes dictator and promptly starts issuing what were called prescriptions. No, I'm not talking about your blood pressure medication. These things were Sulla's, basically sending out bounty hunters and turning regular men into bounty hunters of his political opponents, all those populares. Sulla would put out a list in the public square. He would put out a list of the people he wanted dead, and you had to bring proof you had killed them, and he will pay you for it. Thousands and thousands of them. Not just regular people either. Senators. I think 2,600 equestrians, remember the knights, the high-level people that were just under the senators? Just flat-out wealthy landowners who weren't even populares, and Sulla just wanted their land and money and power. Sulla promptly gets in there, and it was like one of those ethnic cleansing situations. It was that bad. He starts murdering everybody, and does. Completely kills, and this is a thorough man, remember. This is a thorough man. He kills all of them. He thinks. He kills so many of them that he retires. Unlike most dictators in history, I guess to his credit, even though he'd just been kind of murdering people, unlike most dictators, Sulla really did just want to set things right and then bail. He retires and promptly goes to do his favorite thing in the world, get hammered. Alcoholism is not something new to America. It's not something new to the world. It's something historically men especially struggle with. I'm not saying there aren't female alcoholics. Obviously there are, but men... I don't know, whatever the reason is, we like to get hammered. And it has affected especially wealthy, powerful men more. Sulla retires after murdering everybody, drinks so much he's dead in less than 2 years. They hold this huge public funeral for him. You remember he has one of my favorite quotes of all time as he's writing his memoirs. No friend ever served me. No enemy ever wronged me who I have not repaid in full. That is so great. And then boom, gone. So here's the thing, though. Here's what we're going to take away from this. He killed everybody, took over, eliminated entire political positions, killed all his rivals, complete cleansing of this populare scourge, right? Except it wasn't too long after that Julius Caesar stormed in and took over Rome, who then became a populare dictatorship for centuries. What so many people aren't understanding right now, especially not just talking about Democrats here, I'm not just pointing fingers, Democrats, anti-Trump Republicans, mainly the ones who live in D.C., or people who really hated the Trump movement. And this is not about Trump. I'm not here to talk about Trump. But what they aren't understanding is Donald Trump was simply the voice of an idea. And what they're trying to do with this impeachment insanity right now, they're trying to kill it off. All these Capitol raiders, let's arrest them on TV. Let's give this guy 9,000 years in prison. Let's impeach Donald Trump, bring him back, public trial. They're trying to crank up the disgrace and crank up the pain to a point where they can burn off this Trumpism thing and just get back to the way things were. What's wrong with the way things were? Until they take stock into what their role has been in the anger out there, then it doesn't matter how many Trumps or Trump fans they put on trial or throw away in a prison cell. It's not going away. This idea that our optimates here, our elites, are corrupt, live by different rules, are constantly lying to us, dumping on us to enrich and empower themselves, that feeling is not going away. It doesn't. You could impeach Donald Trump 1,000 times, arrest every single person who was even at the rally in D.C., give them all 1,000 years in prison, throw them away for life. The idea is not going away. In fact, you just reinforced everybody's beliefs that you're all corrupt scumbags. And what blows me away is the GOP leadership in D.C. appears to be really on board with this whole impeachment thing. Even if you're some corrupt GOP D.C. scumbag, how can you be so stupid and out of touch? How can you not see what's happening? You're better off hating Donald Trump in private and then saying, he was good, President, glad he's there. Anyway, we're moving on. You don't have to wear Trump pajamas. I'm not asking you to. Maybe you hate the guy. Just move on. But what you're doing is you're trying so hard to make sure he never happens again. You're going to get another one, and then another one, and then another one. And you might find yourself with somebody who's a murderous dictator one of these days. You might. Just let it go. But people in power, they get so blinded by being in power, they don't realize how temporary it can be sometimes. I mean, honestly, what I've said about the Capitol raid. I'm not one of these guys who was like, woohoo, great moment for America. But maybe there is a good part of it we can take from it. Maybe there is. Let's say that. Let's go that route, and then we'll talk about this transgender thing in the military. Hang on.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.